It's interesting to be on the field. You get to see God's hand at work in people's lives. You get to see the people that are getting saved. You get to baptize them. You get to see them grow in the Lord. And, well, it's a wonderful thing. And a lot of you give to missions. You pray for missionaries. Churches send missionaries. And a lot of times you do that in faith, knowing that God's going to bless it. And I enjoy being able to come back on furlough to be able to tell the churches what God has been doing. And I look forward to doing that tonight. Tonight I'm going to share a little bit about what God's been doing in Latvia. And it truly is a privilege to be partners together with you in Latvia. And I look forward to being able to share some different things that God has been doing there. As I came in today, a lot of people came up and said, "Well, we've heard a lot about you." And, well, I don't know. That doesn't always, you always wonder, whoa. Really? Well, I want to tell you, I've heard a lot about you. So there, how you like that? I've heard a lot about you. And everything I've heard has been true. I've heard that the church here is alive and a vibrant place, and that's true. I've heard you've got a wonderful pastor, and I've got to meet Pastor a little bit, and that's true. So I've heard a lot about you. I'm thankful that I had time to be in Sunday school. The chocolate milk and Rice Krispie treats were great. Did you get that in your Sunday school class this morning? You might be in the wrong Sunday school class. And you know, during that your little solo back there, I looked over at my wife and I thought, you know, she'd be touched by it, and she looked at me and she said, "You better step it up, buddy." Well, thanks. it is good to be here. I'm happy to be able to come and to speak today. And it's always interesting to see how the Lord confirms sometimes a message that He gives you with the music that you hear before you get up and speak. And I ask today that you turn your Bible to Psalms chapter 126. And before we read in that chapter, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that You've given us together. We thank You for Your Word. Father, we thank You that we can stand behind Your Word, and we know that it's truth, and we know that You bless Your Word. And Father, we ask today that You will help us to hear. Father, that You'll open our hearts to Your truth. Father, that when we hear, You'll put in our heart to be obedient to what we hear. Father, we pray that You'd receive all the glory and the honor for Your work. Father, and I just pray that if it be Your will, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know You as Savior, that they would open their heart to Jesus Christ today. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message is today is "It's Wonderful to Work in God's Garden." Now, do you have a garden? Probably a lot of you have a garden. How many people have a garden? Quite a few. Okay. Then you'll be able to identify a little bit with us today. But Psalms chapter 126 and verse 6, it says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now you notice the joyful note here. You notice the joyful note here. I just want to say, it's wonderful to work in God's garden. It's wonderful to be able to bring people to Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to be a part of the work of the church, to see those people grow in the Lord. It's wonderful to be able to have a church where you can use the talent that God's given you, the abilities, the spiritual gifts that God's given you. It's wonderful to be able to be a part of that work. I got saved, I was telling Sunday school kids, I was saved when I was about their age. I got saved when I was just a little kid, and I grew up in a Christian home and grew up in church, and I was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and Thursday night to clean the church, and Saturday night when the youth came over to the house and went to a Christian school, and I grew up in church, and I'm thankful for that, and When I finally moved away from home and we moved down to Detroit area, we got into a church down there, and that was the first time in my life, really when a lot of it really became very personal to me. And now as an adult, I had just gotten married, and it really became something that came from me. And I remember that was the first time in my life when I started tithing, and I saw how God truly, He did, He blessed it. And I was surprised sometimes how little money I made, but how God blessed anyway. And I understood that, you know, God's principles is just not, you know, a black and white thing. They really do work. And you know, I was a little surprised by that. I guess I wasn't surprised, but it was a happy thing to say, hey, it works. You know, I'm glad that I was taught this all my life. But when you see the principles work, it's like, hey, this is great. And we joined that church, and it was a live and a vibrant church, and people were happy to be there, and I was happy to be there on Sunday. And somebody said, well, you want something to do in the church? And I thought, well, okay, I'll try it. And they put me in children's church. Now, we had a great children's church guy. They didn't want me to speak in children's church. They wanted me to be kindergarten cop. And so I sat in the middle on a little kid's chair with my knees way up and all these kids around me, and it was my job to, you know, if a kid was a little noisy, try to keep them quiet, and that was my job. And that was the way I served in the church. And another thing they gave me, they said, if a kid raises their hand during the invitation to trust Christ as Savior, we'll have them go with you, and you can show them how to get saved. Now, you know how to do that? And I'm like, well, yeah, I was taught how to do that. I know how to do that. Well, okay, we'll have them go with you. And I got to lead the little kids to the Lord. And I found out that, man, that's great. Amen. That's just a wonderful thing to see people get saved. And I got to go to church on Sunday, and I brought my Bible because I might get to lead a kid to the Lord. And I liked it. And church became a whole new thing for me. And I mentioned to the kids, somebody asked how I got called into missions. Well, it started right there. It started right there, working in God's garden and finding how wonderful it was. Things just kind of progressed. Somebody gave me an opportunity to preach and then another opportunity. And then I heard a missionary speak, and God put it in our hearts and called us to the mission field. He opened doors for us to go to the country of Latvia. I'd already known where Latvia is. My mom's Latvian. And in that church, Fairhaven Baptist Church down there, I understood that serving God is good. Amen. And that God is good. And I'm glad that just out of college that I got to be a part of that, and God showed me that. And I enjoyed it. And I loved it. And when God called us to be missionaries to Latvia, we were to the point where, like, all right, let's go. Let's go. I had learned that the things of the Lord and working in God's garden, it's a joyful experience. Now, growing up, my dad had a garden. And I hated that thing. I'm the smallest one in the family, okay? I've got two bigger brothers. And so I'd imagine he figured he had to find some way to fill the fridge. So Dad planted a huge garden. And we had to go out there and work in that garden. And it was a terrible thing. I hated pulling weeds. I mean, I'm too tall to bend all the way down to pull a weed out. Just for a weed. I didn't like it. I didn't like picking strawberries. They're too low. Now, in Latvia, I have berry bushes. I have cherry trees, you know, you can just pick them like this. That's great. But I still don't have a garden. And so, some people equate working in God's garden like working in dad's garden. That it's a miserable thing. It's not something you want to do. It's something you might have to do. But it's not something you're going to find joy. You might find joy in gardening. I should take that back. But you might see it the way I saw it. My experience in Latvia with the garden was even worse. I don't know what you've heard. But I had a garden once in Latvia. And you can't grow tomatoes outside. The climate's too cold. We're in Latvia. That's in northeastern Europe. If you have a prayer card that we give out, there's a map on the back. It's northeastern Europe. It's south of Finland, north of Poland. But it's about as far north as, say, Juneau, Alaska, Hudson Bay up there. So you put your tomatoes indoors in a hothouse. So I bought a metal frame hothouse. I covered it with plastic, and I planted tomatoes. And my neighbors all came over and said, well, we'll show you how to grow tomatoes. And they started pulling all of the leaves off my tomato plants. And I thought they were just trying to be nasty. And they said, no, this is the way you do it. And they tied a string to the metal frame, brought it down, and got the tomatoes to grow around that string. And you could fill the hothouse up with twice as many tomatoes because they just grew straight up. And the tomatoes would hang all the way down. And so I got all my tomatoes going. I worked in there. And I thought, you know, my dad did it. I probably should do it. You know, I got three kids too. So I'm growing tomatoes and didn't really like it, but it was okay. It was interesting. I got to talk to my neighbors. They'd come over and see how this American was, you know, crazy guy trying to grow tomatoes outside. Whew, you know. But it was good, and it started to grow, and then we had a windstorm. And the wind blew on that hothouse and picked the whole hothouse up, ripped out every tomato, and blew it across the lawn, and it crashed into the fence in the corner of the yard. And I thought, that's it for gardening. No more gardening for me. But working in God's garden, I want us to understand that doing work for the Lord is a joyful thing. And this passage of Scripture gives us this joyful note. It says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. Now, God's garden, working in the Lord's garden, it's a cooperative effort. It's something that we do together as a church. In the Bible it says that God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. The Lord put these men in the church so that they could build up the church. Now then, on top of that, the Lord has given each believer gifts and abilities, things that they can do. And the church, you could say, is the tool shed. It's the place where Christians come together to use the things that the Lord has given them to bring glory to Him and to preach the gospel and to be a lighthouse in the world. But sometimes we may have doubts. You see, every gardener has to have faith when they plant that seed that seed's going to grow. If you didn't have faith that seed was going to grow, you wouldn't go through all the trouble, would you? You wouldn't go buy a rototiller. And you wouldn't be out there working up the soil. You wouldn't be pulling weeds and getting things ready to put that seed in the earth if you didn't think it was going to grow. And sometimes, you know, when we come and we attend church and we think, well, attending church, that's a wonderful thing. The Lord's meeting my spiritual needs. But do I really want to take that step further and become involved in church and serve the Lord in church? Is it really worth it? Would my efforts, would the things that I have, would it really be worthwhile? Do they really need me? Do I really have something that could contribute that's valuable? And I want to tell you, sometimes people think that they don't have the faith that the seed, that the thing that they have is really going to grow. They maybe don't think that something really good will come of it. But I want to tell you that God said that seed will grow. Hasn't He promised us? Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55.
chapter 55 and verse 8, and we're going to read through verse 12. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Now here we also see a note of joyfulness. God promises that there'll be fruit. And we need to understand this, that God blesses our efforts for Him as we serve. I tell you, some of the best fellowship that I've had in Latvia with other Christians is when we're working. We just finished that building project. And boy, there was enough work for everybody to go around. And some of the best time that I've had with the folks in church was while we were out there working. The last thing we did, we had a dump truck load of black dirt spread around. Well, that's when you know you're just about done, when you're getting ready to put the grass seed down. Now, everybody in church, nobody had an excuse. They can all come and shovel a little bit of that black dirt. And they did. We had a really good turnout. And we had a lot of fun that day. It started raining. It turned to mud. It was great. I'll tell you, God blesses while we serve Him. And God also blesses that seed that we sow, that effort that we put forth in His name and in His power, that seed also grows. He promises that it'll grow. Now sometimes you say, "Oh, those kids in Sunday school, did they even hear me today?" They heard you. They heard you. You know, we pray around the table, and does that even have an effect on my kids, on my family? Oh, it has an effect. You know, I Lord put on my heart to say these words of encouragement, but did it really? Oh yeah, it did. When we're working in God's garden, we know that seed that He gives us to plant, that He gives us to sow, it will grow. So I want to tell you, dear Christian, it is worth it. It is worth your while to serve the Lord. It is worth your while to invest in His kingdom. God's given us all gifts, talents, hands and feet. You know, we're not raptured after the moment that we're saved. There's a reason for that. We're here to bring glory to Him through our lives. Now, we can't be lazy about it. Let's look together with me in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and starting in verse 30. See, now some people, they're saved. They're on their way to heaven. But they're involved in a lot of different things in life. And maybe they don't understand how wonderful it is, how truly wonderful it is to work in God's garden. So they just haven't gotten involved in it. Other people, they know about it, but they've never tasted it for themselves. Some people, well, let's read here. Verse 30 says, "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." On Judgment Day, we'll all stand before the Lord.
And it's good to ask ourselves, will I have a basket of fruit? Or will I have a field of thorns? It says here that he went by the field of the slothful and the man void of understanding. We need to understand that it's wonderful to work in God's garden. It's wonderful to be involved in the work of the kingdom. Now, we got a phone call about a week ago, and our stepdaughter, Alyssa, who's still living there in our house, we left our house in care of some friends. They said, "Wow, you wouldn't believe the lawn." I said, "Oh, yeah?" She said, "Yeah, they still haven't mowed the grass this summer." I'm like, "What? It's probably this lawn." She said, "I've never seen the lawn like that before." And I can just imagine people would be driving by my house, and there is someone living there, and they're thinking, "No one's home. It's just abandoned. No one's home." And sometimes I think about the spiritual lives of Christians. If someone was to look, they would say, "No one's home. Where have they gone with their spiritual life?" We need to understanding that God has left us here, and He's given us gifts. He's given us talents to be about His work. Now, I think one thing that brings people back to gardening year after year isn't so much the harvest, but it's the awe of watching things grow. You know, a vegetable is still a vegetable. You got to eat your vegetables. I don't think gardeners are so motivated by zucchini. I think a lot of it is that you can put a seed in the ground knowing that it's going to grow. You put that in there, and it does. It really does work. Our little kids came home from school and they had to put a seed in a cup, you know, just to watch it. That's amazing. I'm like, "Yeah, put it right here on the window so we can all watch it." It's amazing watching that seed split open, and just that, it's a miracle. Every time that seed splits open and the roots go down and the stem comes up, it's just like, wow. That's incredible. Well, you plant a whole garden and it starts to grow. I think a lot of people come back season after season to see that. To see that zucchini, one day it's this big. And you come back the next day and it's like it's ready to pick. You come back the day after that, it's like, "Okay, that one, we'll give that to Pastor. Here you go, friends. This is from our garden." Or tomatoes. You know, when a tomato's ripe, you think it's ripe, the other side's still green. And you wait, and when it's ready, it just falls right off. And the other ones are still green, but you know that those are going to taste just as good as this one. And to see it grow and to ripen, asparagus popping up, just popping up right out of the dirt. Something to eat coming from the dirt. It's amazing. Tender, delicious. Or giant pumpkins. I mean, they're pretty much useless. But I love seeing giant pumpkins. I mean, the big ones. And you scratch your head and wonder, how did something that massive come from the soil? How did that happen? And I think the awe of watching things grow brings gardeners back year after year. Well, I want to tell you something as well. Be faithful in God's garden. You stick at it long enough, and you're going to get to see some wonderful growth. Amen. And when you see that growth, you're just going to say, "Wow." Well, I think about in my life, in my brother's lives, in the people that I know, the way we used to be, and the way that God's worked in our lives and where He's brought us. And I think of the lives of the people in Latvia that have trusted Christ as Savior, and they're baptized, and they came to church, and they start growing. Well, I'm thankful that I've been able to be there for 14 years, to be around long enough to be able to say, "Wow, look at that." You know, Latvians are pretty standoffish people. They're cold climate people. And there's always this barrier between people. And when they get saved and they come into the church, it's like that barrier disappears. And people that aren't family start acting like they're family. And you say, only God could do that. And you see people that at one time were living a way that would just destroy their lives. Just without sense of what that's doing to them. That God gives them that sense and they bring their lives around and you see that growth in their life where they say, that kills you. I'm not going to do that anymore. And God changes their life and they grow and they're growing spiritually. Right now in Latvia, there's some pretty hard times. We had this huge building boom. And of course, after a building boom, just like anywhere, you're going to have a building bust. Well, it went bust. And there's some really difficult times in Latvia. And I've seen people in our church that through difficulty, through adversity, through want, they're growing in the Lord. They're saying, you know, I'm trusting God. I don't know how, but God's going to do it. And I wonder, wow, that's mature. They're not screaming, crying, panicking. You know, wow, the awe of that growth. I've seen other people who are doing well. They're doing just fine. One guy came to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I want you to give this to that other family. He shakes my hand, he got something. I'm like, well, what's that? I look down. It's a roll of bills. Our money's color-coded there. The brown ones are pretty big ones. It's a roll of brown bills. I look at him, I'm like, wow. I walk over there. I said, God wants to bless you today. Someone gave me this to give to you, and it's the family that was really hurting. Boy, that's great to see when that happens in your church. It's the awe of seeing the garden grow. And I want to encourage you, Sunday school teachers, stay with it. And I want to encourage you, pastors, stay with it. I want to encourage you, church members, just stay with it. Have faith that seed's going to grow. And you'll get to see it. I want to look in Ephesians chapter 3. We see an apostle. He's praying for the church. He's praying for Christian growth. He's praying with faith, knowing that they will grow. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Boy, he knew. He knew that these Christians they're going to grow. And he was praying for that growth. And he knew that God was going to do far above anything that he could ever imagine for them in their lives. And dear Christians, I just want to encourage you to use the gifts and the talents that God has given you to be actively gardening in God's garden. We had been praying for my brother-in-law to get saved for a long time. Just a really good guy. Friendly guy, nice guy. I really liked him, but he didn't know the Lord for a long time. And then when we were in Latvia, we heard that he got saved. And man, that was great. Hey, Jeff got saved. And I was looking forward to coming home on furlough and talking with him about what happened to him. And last week, I was able to meet with him, and we went down in the basement. We were just talking about things that he just got finished with a house. We were talking about things down there and started talking about spiritual things. And he didn't want to talk about what God was doing in his life. He's like, yeah, he said, I've trusted Christ as Savior. He said, now I'm working with the youth group at our church. And he said, I don't know what I'm doing at all. He said, but I just go, I'm Mr. Jeff. He says, I'm there to help with anything there that may need help. And he said, the guy who gives all the lessons, he's been a Christian for a long time. And he said, I tell you, sometimes he talks in a way that those kids, they just don't understand what he's saying. He said, so I kind of can pick up on that because a lot of times I don't know what he's saying. And he said, I know that there was one girl there and that she needed to be saved. And the lesson was about how to turn from your sin and that God is holy. And the Bible teaches us that God is without sin and that he's holy. And the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And because God's holy and because we're sinners, we're separated from God. And that's a big problem. Because we're separated from God in this life, and after this life, we're separated from God for eternity in a place called hell. Now, Jeff understood this. And the teacher was teaching it and reading it, but he wasn't sure if the girl was getting it. So he'd keep raising his hand. Jeff was. Could you explain that a little more? And the guy would explain it a little more. And the guy went on to say that, explain to her that that's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He did what we couldn't do. We're guilty, but Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, was innocent. He is innocent. Never sinned. He was able to pay for my sin because he didn't have any sin of his own. So when Jesus died on the cross, he was the substitute for me. He took the punishment that should have went to me, and it went on Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ died, the penalty for sin was paid for. Boy, that's great news. Amen. That is wonderful news for us today. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. God the Father said, penalty paid, paid in full. And Jesus is alive today. So Jeff raised his hand. Well, if someone wanted to be saved, what would they have to do today? And the guy's like, well, oh, okay. Well, tell God you're sorry for your sins. Look to Jesus Christ to forgive you. Believe that he died on the cross, that he rose again. Open your heart in faith, trusting that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins on the cross. And he said, that girl, she got saved that day.
Amen.
And Jeff, he had tears coming down his eyes. He said, it was great. It was great. I said, I know. That's why I do what I do, because it's great. He said, isn't it though? I said, it is. He said, man, that was great. Have you ever had the opportunity to do that? Then you know it's a great thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to be at work in God's garden. And I just want to challenge you today to be at work in God's garden. Let's go back to that passage of Scripture, Psalms chapter 126. It said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It's interesting, this first passage of Scripture, it says weeping. He that goeth forth and weepeth. You know, the children of Israel, they got away from God. They were God's chosen people. Very special to God. But you know, they got to a point where they started turning their back on God and having a hard heart towards the things of God. And they put other gods in front of the true and living God. They started worshiping false gods. Their worship became weak and dead. They became disobedient to God. They lost years of fellowship with God. And this passage of Scripture says that he that goeth forth and weepeth. I think there was a time in their national history where they needed to weep over their sins. They needed to have a broken heart for their disobedience, for the fact that they put other gods in front of God. There needed to be a time of repentance in their national history. And when there was, they began to do God's work again. And they began to see fruit. And dear Christian, sometimes in our lives we need to examine our life. Are there weeds in our garden that we need to pull? Sometimes before we can start planting, sometimes before we can start sowing seed, we need to prepare our hearts and prepare our lives. And there's things that we need to get rid of. There's weeds that we need to pull. There's sins that we need to turn from. And there are things that we need to repent of. And I want to encourage you to be gardeners in God's garden. But before we do that, we need to prepare ourselves. Now, when Dad gardened, he had this really silly looking contraption called a sower, a sewing machine with a, not sewing, but sewing. It had two wheels on it. You ever see these? Two little tiny bike wheels with a hopper on it and a little thing that plowed through the dirt, and you filled the hopper with seeds and you walked it off like this and it dropped the seeds in. Okay, that's one way of sowing. Another way of sowing is you can get a furrow and drop the seeds in one at a time and then fill it in. You use a hoe. Another one, you can take your finger and poke a hole, drop a seed, poke a hole, drop a seed, poke a hole, drop a seed. You can do it that way. You can make a mound and put different seeds on that mound. I like the way the neighbor does it with a John Deere. Put a couple ton of seeds in it and just rips across the field. That's another way of sowing. They're all valid ways of sowing. Everybody has their own way. In their own circumstance and situation, there's a best way to do it. I want to tell you, God has made you just the way you are to sow in a certain way. Now, some people, with the building that we did, this guy, he never talks. He never talks. You might get three words. Now, his wife runs a mile a minute, but this guy never talks. And I always wondered, well, what could he do? We needed electricity in that building. And this guy came and he pulled all the electric. That was his service to the Lord. That was how he sowed. And now, finally, after a few days, he started talking. I got to know this guy. What a good heart. I said, am I paying you for this? He said, no, I'm serving the Lord. And I understood that people sow in all different kinds of ways. Now, it's true. The world needs more missionaries. And if God calls you to a mission field, he'll give you grace for it, and you'll want to do it. It's not something that you're going to have to do with tears and regret and all this other stuff. But there is a field to sow for every one of us. If you're a Christian today, if you're a child of God, there is a garden for you to be working in. And this church is a wonderful place. This is the garden shed, where you can use your tools, you can use the things that God has given you for his glory. It also may be your family, your children, or your grandchildren, or your nieces and nephews, or your neighbors. It's my prayer today that we would understand that gardening is good. And that we would understand today that sometimes we need to prepare our own hearts. And we need to be expectant and full of faith that if we sow that seed, it is worthwhile. There will be fruit. God will bless. He promises that. We just need to have a willing heart and a ready heart and a prepared heart. If you're here today and you say, I've never trusted Christ as Savior, what you say about having a purpose in life, of being working together with God, I want to do that. Well, the first step for you would be to do what that girl did. Put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. And you can do that today. You open your heart in faith to Jesus, willing to turn your back on your sin and turn to God for forgiveness. And I invite you to do that today. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's stand together and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us together. Father, we thank you for the fact that after we become Christians, that's just a wonderful beginning. Now we have the opportunity, the joy of working hand in hand with you. Father, to see your principles work out in our lives, to see your principles work out in the lives of the people around us. And Father, we just want to say to you today that here we are. Father, use us in any way that you see fit. Father, help us to be aware of the gifts, the talents that you have given us. And Father, help us to have our eyes open as to where we can use those things in your service for your glory. Father, we just pray that you would take our willing hearts today. And Father, bless our willingness to work for you by showing us where and when. And Father, I pray for those that are working in your service. Father, I pray that they would be full of faith. Father, I pray that they would take the time to notice the wonderful growth. Father, that sometimes it's slow, but it's there and it's true. And Father, help us to never forget that. And Father, may we always have renewed energy and renewed desire to continue in the work. Father, when we pause to see, Father, the wonderful work that you do in the lives of people. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.